This is Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings for today. We have a very special guest on the show. I am so excited. I've tried for years to get an interview with him. He's a hard man to track down. We would like to welcome to our program Dr. Kenneth Edmonds Babyface.
Hi, how are you?
I see. I know you're a doctor now. You've earned the respect. You got that title from, university in Indianapolis?
Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations to you on that. Looking back at your career, which has spanned, I guess your first solo album was 1989 and Tender Lover. But since that time, you've written and produced or been involved with 26 number one hits. So looking back, is there like one particular moment in time that you knew you had this gift?
It's a good question. I never saw number ones in the story. I just always wanted to write songs. And I think that from the first moment I had a song that I wrote that came on the radio, which was well before, 89, because I actually started right out of high school. And I was in a group called Manchild, and we had a record out. And so that was in 1978. I'd always been kind of, going for it for a long time and not quite making it, but being in the game. Mm-hmm. And so it was always just amazing just to, even have your song on the radio. That was the best part.
Do you remember where you were when you heard your song in the radio for the first time?
I was driving actually on my own street, Riviera. It was the first song that I was involved with. I don't think I wrote that song, but I was in the band. But that was just as exciting as your band.
Turn up the volume, tell the car next to you, hey, that's me.
I didn't do that. But
So with all these Grammys, it's not often I get somebody who's been nominated for, 80 Grammys now, I believe. You've won 12 of the 80 Grammys. It's unbelievable. Where are these Grammys? I mean, if it were me, I'd put them on the dashboard of my car, but I don't know where you got them. Somewhere at home in a special place, probably.
Yeah, I just got a place in Vegas. I'm moving to Vegas, so it's in the house in Vegas right now.
Oh, that's nice. And you did a show at the Palms, which was sold out. It was fantastic. And I understand that you kind of are maybe negotiating to do a regular residency in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're talking about it right now. It was a lot of fun. And it was, just to have everybody in there singing the songs and, so many songs, so many years of doing it, not just for myself, but for other artists and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talk about other artists. I don't know. The list of who you haven't worked with is probably smaller than the list of those that you have, because you've done something with everyone. Toni Braxton, Madonna, Boyz II Men, the list goes on and on. You've touched everybody and you have that magic touch. So what is it that makes a good producer a good producer?
Obviously if you have success with the songs that you produce, but I think initially it's about just your relationship with the artist in the studio, whether or not you guys can get along and whether you can create a situation where you can make magic happen. Because many times it's just if you're fighting in there, if you're not really connecting, then it's not like something good is always going to come out of that. Not to say that something good doesn't come out of those situations. They do all the time, but for me it seems to work better with honey rather than it being just really
icky. With vinegar. We got Babyface with us here on Border Crossings. Where did the name Babyface come from? I hear there's a story behind that.
It's a really simple story. I was in the studio when I was in the deal, and we were doing demos for Bootsy Collins. And I walked in the room and Bootsy yelled out Babyface. He looked at me, said Babyface. And that was it. The nickname stuck. Everybody in the band had a nickname except for me. And finally I had a nickname.
Well, it's stuck and it's a great name and certainly a significant name in the world of music. And you've done so many different things, as I mentioned. You've been an actor. You did a soundtrack for a film. Do you have a favorite part of the business? One thing more than another?
No, I've been blessed to be able to do so many different things. And so being able to do that kind of keeps you versatile. and just not getting bored with anything. So you kind of move around and have fun with whatever, you know, whatever comes your way. I didn't expect any of it. You know, it was something that I wanted to do in music, but I didn't know that it could ever happen, really. I just never gave up, just kept on going for it. And so many blessings have come from it since I've done it.
And you and L.A. Reid put a record label together. Actually, you've had a couple of labels.
Yes, and Face was very successful. We had, you know, starting from Usher to TLC to Outkast to Pink was on the label, and other names I'm forgetting at the moment. But we, you know, we were the start of a lot of major careers, you know. And I think that that's a nice thing always to look at and feel proud of, that, you know, you were at the beginning of people's careers and watch them go on to become superstars.
And you put out your 9th album last year, Girls Night Out. So tell me about that album. I mean, does that album differ than some of the previous work? Is, you know, what's the story in that album?
Yeah, that's a different album, because it was really a collaborative album that I worked with younger artists. And kind of, in some cases it was duet, some cases it wasn't. But it was all just with female artists, and today's female artists, younger artists that were just kind of getting going and starting to happen. So, and that was fun to be, it was a fun process working not just with the artists, but also some younger producers as well and writers. So I had a really good time putting that together.
I'm going to ask you a question I ask a lot of, you know, people who've collaborated with many artists as yourself. 3 artists you'd like to collaborate with, and they could be deceased or alive.
I always say the most fun I've had in sessions was always with TLC. That was always, we were always going to laugh. Same thing with Whitney as well. It's so hard to call, because I mean, I usually have a good time with most people, and so the artists. I think in being in the studio, now that I'm thinking about it, probably the most fun I've had and the most time I laugh is actually working with Bruno Mars. Probably the funniest.
So who would be 3 that you haven't worked with that you'd want to work with on your wish list?
I don't know if I have 3. I know what, there's one artist I would always, there's some artists that I would love to, that are today artists. But I think that initially, I won't even go on that so I don't offend anybody, but I would just say the artist that I always have wanted to work with would be Sade.
Oh, yeah. Wow, Smooth Operator. Love her music. Love her voice. We're talking with Babyface, the first #1 song. You touched on it briefly, Whitney Houston, I'm Your Baby Tonight, in 1990, the first of what ended up being 26 #1 songs. What can you tell us about Whitney Houston, working with Whitney Houston, working with these? I mean, is there anybody that stands out in your mind as above the rest, or no? I without you naming somebody that you put above anybody, but, you know, I mean, Whitney Houston is as good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, Whitney was certainly the top, and Aretha Franklin as well. But, you know, Whitney was, that was our first #1. We had a lot of things that came really close to getting #1, but she was the one that delivered the first one for us. And it was, that was amazing. And then, you know, to be able to work with her, just artists like Whitney, and to work with Celine, to work with Aretha Franklin, to work with Mariah Carey, to work with Barbra Streisand. I'm working with like the greatest, you know, voices of all time. And that's what I'm most proud of, is that I was able to even get in the room with them.
Right. And how do you approach that when you're working with Madonna or Celine Dion? How do you say, I want more of this and less of this? And do they respond to that kind of thing as a producer?
Yeah, they do. I think they, because of the work I've done before, they kind of respect that. And so they, and I was really nervous about that with Barbra Streisand. But she was very open and said, you know, tell me what to do. Let me know. Stevie Wonder did the same thing. I'm like, how am I going to tell Stevie what to do?
So you work with everybody, you know. Any plan to write a book, an autobiography, a memoir, a Babyface story?
think we're going to work on a docu first, but then a book will come maybe at another point.
And you were featured in a film, not you, but somebody played you in a movie. What's that like, sitting and watching somebody else play you?
Yeah, I've seen a couple little things that have come out like that. That's a little weird to watch that, and that's what I look like.
That's what some director's perception is anyway. But we've got Babyface, and what a thrill. This is an honor to have you on the show. You are the ultimate producer, songwriter in the business. And, there's been many great songwriters, and you are right up there among the greatest of the greats. And I know that you came out with a song. You released it in August. It was number one for a record, I think it was 6 weeks, on the R&B adult charts, called As a Matter of Fact. That was the latest single. What's coming up next?
I'm working on a couple things right now, things I don't want to really mention yet because I got to make sure they all come together. But I'm excited about what's coming down the line. There's always work. I'll still be out doing dates and doing that as well. A couple of TV opportunities that I'm looking at as well. So I'm just staying busy. And, it's kind of like it's like a resurgence of doing so many different things and having a lot of fun doing it. So I don't know any, in music and in entertainment, it's like you don't really age. It's always fun. If you stay busy, then, there's no such thing as getting older.
Mm-hmm. I had Quincy Jones on the show. I asked him how he continues to be so successful. He says, you got to stay relevant. If you stay relevant, you're in the groove.
Yeah, well, I like to follow in his footsteps any day.
He's the guy. Now, you've done so many other things as well, as I talked about acting and singing, performing. You also are a dancer, little known talent about you.
Well, I don't know about that part.
2016, you were on Dancing with the Stars here in the United States.
Yes, I did that. That was the most frightening thing in my life. I ever did.
Probably physically challenging too, I from what it looks like.
Yeah, it was physically challenging, but more, I think, what I couldn't get rid of was the nerves of being scared every time I stepped out on that dance floor. And I felt that I could get in control of that because I think, I go on stage all the time and I got this, but nope, I ain't got this.
Well, it puts you in an uncomfortable zone because, your lane is music and it's not dancing, but there you were on a dance show, which is watched by millions and millions of people.
Thanks for reminding me that.
Yes. Well, at least you got rhythm. Some of the dancers on the show don't have rhythm. But
yeah, I made it through it, and I'm glad that I did it. And I learned something about myself. I don't have complete control as I thought. That was something I couldn't quite get out of my body, that was that nervousness. And so one day I hope to return and try to figure out how to get rid of that nervousness, because I didn't like that.
You need a drive down the Kenneth Edmonds Highway in Indianapolis. Yeah. I-65. And of course, you have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. What a pleasure it is to have you. Are you going to go touring? Because we're talking to an international audience right now. So what's the plans for you in the year ahead, the holidays coming up?
Yeah, we're putting some dates together, and as well as overseas as well. So it's looking like things are coming together. And on holiday, I'm just going to chill out this holiday and get ready for the next year.
Where's home right now, L.A.?
Home is between L.A. and Las Vegas.
All right. Well, cool. We really appreciate having you on the show. Is there a website people go to, so if they want to come check out the show?
Yeah, they could just go to my Instagram.
Instagram. Maybe. All right. Do you really read those? Come on.
Yeah.
You do? All right. Well, see, now everybody knows that he's really reading those Instagram messages. But thank you, Babyface, for being on the show. And is there anything you want to say to the worldwide audience? I mean, it's an honor to have you on.
I just appreciate all the support that I've had over the years and feel very blessed and thankful, that I'm still here and still doing it and glad that everybody's still supporting.
26 number ones. We've got Babyface as our guest. Thank you so much for being with us. The latest album is called Girls Night Out, and pick up a copy of the new album, support Babyface when he's on the road and in Las Vegas. Hopefully they'll put together a residency there and people can go see you in Sin City. We appreciate you being on the show.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Babyface. This is Border Crossings. I'm Larry London. You're watching VOA TV.